All right, we'll call the meeting to order, please. We will start, as always, with a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, Mr. Lard, could we have the roll call, please?
Yep. Eric Davidson?
Here.
Karina Higgins? Here. Mike Hill?
Here.
Sonia Hurt? Here. Ryan Lopez?
Here.
Richard May? Present. Mary Lou Stewart?
Present. Okay, we'll go on to the sign-up sheet. And just to start, remember that everyone will have 3 minutes to speak from the time you get to the podium. So the first one is the professor.
City Manager Michael Harmon, the leader of our government, hired by the City Council. We have reported on alleged criminal wrongdoing amongst City Council and City officials, and have relied on whistleblower protections for anonymity. This right to anonymity is a long-standing protection enshrined in law and the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. How does this relate to Mr. Harmon? Recently, Mr. Harmon publicly and illegally revealed the identity of a confidential whistleblower to the city and state government in 2 official communications. Instead of respecting that person's right to remain anonymous, Mr. Harmon egregiously and purposefully outed this individual, and that information is now of permanent record. 2807 Sandwood Lane. Why is this address important, and how does this relate to Mr. Harmon? As it turns out, Harmon lives at this address and rents from one of the most significant investors in the developer's development, Michael McAvoy. In fact, his landlord owns, or has owned, at least 30 properties in that neighborhood. Harmon also oversees the planning department, which is tasked with approving all things related to this developer. We believe that Mr. Harmon has a clear conflict of interest on all issues relating to this development and to the developer. At every phase that Harmon would oversee, his investor landlord would be significantly financially impacted by Harmon's actions. We believe that Harmon never disclosed this conflict of interest and continued to influence key decisions relating to his landlord's investments. Even more surprisingly, recently, Mr. Harmon had a water quality test performed in the development based on citizen complaints of brown water. Instead of taking a random sample in the area, Mr. Harmon had a test done on his own property and reported that test to the state government, purposefully omitting the fact that he, in fact, tested his own house. This is where your taxpayer dollars go, to Mr. Harmon's own personal water test, where he fraudulently convinced the state government that there is nothing to investigate here. We believe that this rises to the level of fraud and making a false report to state official. We believe that his intent was to curtail any further investigation by the state authorities by not disclosing that he secretly tested his own house. Government officials are not only bound by the Constitution, but they are bound by state and federal law. We believe that Harmon has acted recklessly by revealing the full identity of a whistleblower, overseeing projects that he had a clear conflict of interest in. And we also believe that he made a fraudulent report to the state government. In a city where there is no accountability, we expect the city to again turn a blind eye to what we believe is illegal activity. After all, it's what has always been done in Blaine. Not only is the city above the law, they are the law. The Constitution, laws, and rules don't apply here. They will continue to break the laws. All we can do is report our findings to the authorities and trust that justice will prevail. Justice will prevail.
Thank you, Madam. Luke Skywalker.
According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, trust means assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone. Trust is something that I do not have in this government. Trust is something that was lost a long time ago here in Blaine. It started with Mary Lou and her disregard for the First Amendment. Then we discovered hundreds of thousands in gifts, exchanging hands. These gifts were timed with key votes. The rocks. What's the big deal anyway? Why were the rocks given on the same day as the Planning Commission's planned vote for the zoning amendment? Does this instill trust? Then the city lied, saying that Premium Services delivered the rocks. We have eyewitness testimony that proves the city lied, further eroding public trust. Next, we have 2 of our city council members, Karina Higgins and Mike Hill, who have illegally voted with their checkbook since they own property right beside Jansen's development. Does this make me trust city council? Definitely not. Or how about Mike Harmon, our city manager, and Harpier Gandhi, our public works director, living in the developer's development? Is this a conflict of interest? It looks like it to me. This is more erosion of trust. Or how about you, Alex, the city planner who violated my First Amendment rights and called the cops on us? You upheld rules that don't exist. Do you expect the citizens to trust you, Alex? Why are you still here? This is not acceptable to me, and I will not rest until I see handcuffs on the guilty. Thank you.
Madam Watchdog? I'm sorry, you've already been up. You have already been up. No, you have been up for one appearance. That's all you get. Sorry. You can either speak yourself or speak with a cell phone. You cannot do both. You need somebody else.
I thought you said
No, we're not. No, we are not.
Wasn't before, now it is.
Next to speak is Tina Irwin, please.
Did you know that from 1996 on, that the city had plans to take over everyone's property, like they did the Martin property where they condemned it? They condemned the land to line the city and the developer coffers from East Maple Ridge to Valley View Road. The Karina Higgins and Mike Hill own land that abuts both East Maple Ridge and East Harbor Hills. This is a conflict of interest, and it appears that both of these city council members were required by law to disclose this to the city attorney and the mayor and to totally recuse themselves. To recuse means you cannot vote. But then you know that, Karina. You should know the law. You're an attorney. Did you know that Mike Harmon and Mr. Harpier live in East Maple Ridge? And they rent from Mr. McAvoy, who is Mr. Jansen's business partner. And Mr. Jansen's business partner owns 30 of those developed houses, and he rents them. So Mr. Harpier and Mr. Harmon live there. So if you file a water complaint and you expect something to happen, it's going to fall on deaf ears because the tenants in East Maple Ridge rent from the developer, so all that brown water doesn't get reported. Did you know that because Mr. Harmon and Mr. Harpier live in these areas and that because they have all this effect on approvals, that none of the amendments and the approvals that they submitted and all of the plat amendments that they submitted and they got all that approved and the awarding to Cascade Engineering, that was a $900,000 gift to the city, that contract for the revitalization is all null and void and fraud because you cannot profit from fraud? And because all of these people are required by law to disclose this to the city attorney and this mayor, that this constitutes collusion and is illegal? So let's look at the definition of bribery. It is that you have an expectation that if you buy something or you get something or you give something to the city, that the city will vote for you, which is exactly what the city did. So did you know that this all appears to be bribery, fraud, extortion, collusion, and conflict of interest? Mr. Jansen, Mr. McAvoy, and Mr. Parkinson, it looks like the city and the mayor really screwed all of you. Because did you know now that all the votes for East Maple Ridge, East Harbor Hills, and the city revitalization are now null and void? Bribery, fraud, extortion, collusion, and conflict of interest. That's the city council and Blaine. It looks like the Disneyland of Blaine and the Disneyland in California. They're all corrupt.
Jiggy Sorrell.
How's it going? I left one thing out in my interview earlier for the vacant seat. I just got my certificate from John Hopkins in Sustainable Cities and Planning this last week. So I just want to add that to my interview about me. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone in the audience who has not already spoken, like to give a presentation? Please come to this podium. Who has not already spoken, either electronically or otherwise? Thank you. Thank you. The professor was not here.
Madam Mayor, yes, I would advise the speaker that she's causing a disruption officially. We need to proceed with city business, and I would advise her she's causing a disruption and ask her to sit down.
Yep.
Hey, guys. How's everybody today? Steve Tojak. I like the energy. I'm glad to see everybody here today. As far as the future goes when it concerns the low-income housing community idea, you know, I kind of have a lot to say about that, but I won't say it today, except a little bit of experience that I have in living in multiple different environments across the United States of America. So I'd hate to think that this low-income housing community that's supposed to help folks is more of a money grab. I hear a lot of things today. I'm not sure what to think, except I know what happens in the future when things look and appear like great and good ideas, but they don't always turn out that way, and I think we all know that. So let's not approve this. Hopefully we don't approve this type of thing and make any rash decisions, because we live together as a community in a small town, and I would hope to think that we can all find a way to learn to get along, you know, and try to do what's best for our community and each other. And we have a California Trail as an example. I'm sure you all heard about that place. Well, it's a place where a lot of good ideas, or I think originally started, but kind of went downhill. We want to avoid that. You know, we don't want that happening again. We want to secure our properties, our children, and everything else that we hold dear. And as a small community, we should all be able to look each other in the eye and hope that we all have the best interests, not only for ourselves, our communities, and our future. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak before we close the audience participation? All right, audience participation is closed. Moving on to written communications, Ms. Soudard.
All written communication can be found on the city website.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. Items listed below will be enacted by one motion. If separate discussion is desired on an item, that item may be removed from the consent agenda and placed on the regular agenda at the request of a council member. One, approval of bills $624,127.86. Two, approval of 2023 open period bills $626,275.71. Three, approval of January the 8th, 2024 City Council minutes. Four, amendment 01RH2, design contract Wellfield Pump Station Project. I have a motion, please.
I motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passed 7-0. Moving on to council action items. First is appointment to the Public Works and Park Advisory Board.
I nominate Larry Kyle to the Public Works and Parks Advisory Board.
I second that.
Is the procedure we're going to be doing is just by happenstance, whichever name goes into nomination first and everyone voting for and against that in no particular order?
Ms. Soudard, what do you recommend, please?
Yes, my recommendation would be to do one nomination for one and then a separate nomination for the second person.
Because I think... I wish that we had a procedure that was more along the lines of where we had some other kind of balloting or some other way of doing it, because I'm finding that what seems to happen at these meetings that whoever gets whatever name goes first, people don't like voting against someone so much as voting for someone, and so when a name is put forward, just the order that the names get put forward changes the impact of the result.
I was just going to say that could we each just write down the two names of the two people we would like, and then while we're proceeding with the rest of the action items, Ms. Soudard, if you would tally them, please. Okay, so I'll give council 2 seconds. I will read out the names of the four people. Sandy Miller, Jiggy Sorrell, Larry Kyle, and Ted Metz. These are four people who are running for the Public Works Park Commission. So would you put down the names of two people on a sheet of paper, and we'll give that to Ms. Soudard.
Madam Chair, I was under the impression that the new combined commission had 7 positions available. I know I missed the interviews today, but could you clarify that?
It was implicit in that combining the two left 2 vacancies.
Okay, I understand now.
Okay. There's 3. 1, 2, 3. No. So, I'll just give you a few minutes then, if you can.
Sorry, does anybody feel the need to do that for that same thing for the Planning Commission and the Tourism Advisory Center?
No, because it's one for one. So maybe we could move on to
that. That'd be great.
Well, So if we go on to number three, Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee appointment, there was one candidate, and that was Ray
Maxon.
Maxon, so would somebody like to make...
I move that we appoint Ray Maxon to the BTAC.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So Ray Maxon is the BTAC commission candidate approved. And we can do the same then for Planning Commission. There was one candidate, Donald Cruz. Somebody like to make a motion, please?
Seconder. I'll second.
All those in favor of Donald Cruz being on the Planning Commission?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Donald Cruz then is the Planning Commission, 7-0. So we'll go on to number four, approved professional engineering services consulting roster. Mr. Gandy, please.
Madam Mayor. So basically what happens, like in the month of September, for 2 years, we make a SOQ statement of qualification for consulting engineers in different fields, whatever city uses, like for transportation, water, sewer, and other aspects of building engineering. So any contract that is within the limit of $350,000, right, we can award it to the those consulting firm for engineering and other purposes. So without going through the hassle of advertising or bidding. So the maximum amount that we can authorize is up to $350,000.
And that's per request?
Per request.
Good ask. Okay. Is there anyone on this roster that we have not worked with in the past?
Just gonna pull this one.
Because I recognize a few of the names. There's a few in there that I did not.
A couple of them are Northwest Hydraulics and Geotests. So we had a little bit of work with them, but not to a depth.
And in regards with adding and removing consulting firms from this list, are you able to do that throughout the year, or is it at the beginning of the year, this is our roster, that's it, it's closed till January 25?
It does close.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And are we taking bids for each of these if they're under 350? Are we taking bids from three or four different places, or are we just going with whoever gets it for under 350?
Mr. Harmon.
Thank you. So in Washington, we cannot bid engineering or architectural services. So what this roster does is establish a list of qualified firms, and then we will individually interact with those firms. You know, if it's a water project, we may pick RH2. If it's a civil engineering project, we may pick David Evans and Associates in Cascade. But we can't ask them for a bid. We can ask them for a statement of work to include ours, and we can sort of back into a number that we think it most likely will be. But any contract with any vendor that's on that list will come back to council for approval. And then if it's over $350,000, we would issue an individual RFQ for that particular project and solicit engineering firms. Let's say we were going to redesign our wastewater treatment plant. We would issue an RFQ specifically for that project. We wouldn't pick a firm off of this general services.
So each one of these is going to come back to us anyway. This is just like the secondary step after we've approved it that you're doing. I mean, we're approving these pre-hand anyway.
Madam Mayor, council saying, yes, we agree that these firms are qualified and that they should be on the list. And there's no financial outlay with any of these tonight.
I move that we approve the roster.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I didn't want the vote to happen. Yeah, please go ahead.
Oh, no, I did have a question, right? One of the concerns I have is that, like, and I'll just pick Geotest Services because they're the one at the bottom and they're easiest to see. My concern is if, you know, we have a dozen projects and we pick them six times, and we haven't picked the other folks. I would like some sort of safeguard that says, well, by the time we pick them for the third time, it needs to come before the council. And that's just because maybe they are the right person. Maybe we only use Geotest Services for everything because they're the best people for the job. But I just have a concern about that, just even with the look of impropriety. So any other thoughts on that? That's actually more to you guys rather than to you. Any other thoughts on that, guys?
Mr. Harmon.
I could speak to that somewhat. Sometimes we go back, if you take a look at DEA, we go to them constantly for our water system because they own and maintain the modeling for our hydrology in the water system. Other times we go to firms and they say, we're just not interested in the project. And so we're very conscious internally about who we select on the roster. We try to target firms where that expertise lives in-house and we think they're the best firm for the project, but we are cognizant of spreading it around, if you will.
Yeah.
So if they made this list, that means that they satisfied the qualifications that you sent out into the community?
In America.
Go ahead.
That's correct.
Yeah. And was there any actual interviewing that took place, or was this all based on a paper evaluation?
Go ahead.
all based on paper. At the time that we enter into a project, that's when we visit with the consultant about their expertise in-house. But this means, if you're familiar with the small works roster in Washington, this is identical, but for public service, or for professional services.
Do you use the small works roster that the MRSC maintains?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? It's, Mr. Gard, it's, the motion has been made and seconded, I believe. So if there's no further questions, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The vote has passed 7-0. Thank you. Are you ready with the, if you want to announce the two?
Yeah, so the top person that got the most votes was Sandy Miller. Mm-hmm. But then we have a tie for second between Larry Kyle and Ted Metz.
So there are seven of us. Here you go, Mr. May. You can choose one, whichever one you would like to put forward, and then we'll vote on that. And if that person gets four, then we know the other person only gets three.
There we go. I move that we appoint Ted Metz.
All those in favor of Ted Metz, say aye.
Aye.
One, two, three, four. So that's four. So Ted Metz is the second. So the two are Sandy Miller and Ted Metz. So again, would somebody like to nominate that, yes.
Oh, yes.
A motion for motion. Sandy Miller and Ted Metz.
I move that we appoint Sandy Miller and Ted Metz to the board.
Is there a seconder?
A second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The vote has been passed 7-0. Thank you. Okay. Now, Mr. Wenger, we're moving on to Transpo Group's General Services Agreement for Planning Support.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. This is basically kicking off our comprehensive plan update. So the proposal before you is to authorize the city manager to enter into a general services agreement with the Transpo Group. Transpo will help us update our transportation element of our comprehensive plan. It can also help us update our transportation plan. There's no initial cost associated with this general service agreement, so there's no cost to approving this. We're just selecting a consultant to receive future proposals from, which we'll bring back in front of council for those individual items. One of those items will be the next request for council action item that we'll look at a specific task for a downtown parking study. But this particular proposal just is a general service agreement. They can also help the CDS department evaluate transportation concurrency projects, traffic studies, and so this will allow us multiple benefits in the department. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, what attracted you to Transpo Group and why were they chosen?
They're one of the leading, or Madam Mayor. Yes, I'm sorry. They're one of the leading transportation authorities for planning transportation. In addition to that, Whatcom County has selected them to help with the regional transportation plan. So we hope that there will be some economies of scale by hiring Transpo to help the city of Blaine.
Any other further comments? Someone like to make a motion that we recommend approval of the subject general services agreement for the Transpo Group?
A motion.
And second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is passed 7-0. Moving on to the specific one then, Mr. Wenger, Transpo Group downtown parking study.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a specific proposal. It is for a not to exceed $25,000 proposal. The primary purpose of this parking study for downtown, which is on a somewhat accelerated schedule from the consultant, is to help with our downtown zoning text amendments that are currently before the Planning Commission. Part of those recommendations that have been forwarded to the Planning Commission from our downtown ad hoc advisory committee are to reduce on-site residential parking requirements. So our Planning Commission is currently considering this proposal, and we would like to get some more information from some professional consultants on the capacity of our downtown parking. One of the things that we did as part of the downtown ad hoc advisory committee is we had 8 meetings, we went through a series of recommendations, but we did not have professional planning services outside of city staff. So we're hoping that this evaluation will allow us to evaluate options, kind of vet the recommendations of the ad hoc committee. There's also a public engagement component, a part of this proposal. There'll be a business survey, business online survey with their downtown business owners and property owners. And then there'll be 2 public presentations with the review authority that can be with the Planning Commission or City Council, potentially split between those two. And we, CDS is also recommending that this will help kind of establish a baseline, some baseline data when we kick off our comprehensive plan update. So we've collected some parking inventory data. We have about 600 stalls in our central business district. We kind of want to figure out how those are operated. Are they vacant? Are they full all the time? We want to get some information like that. This is just we're going to look at not the entire central business district, but the green areas, our core Peace Portal Drive, where the downtown revitalization project is, highlighting a couple blocks of H Street, and the yellow area is our service area. We do have a number of funding sources for this proposal. We have about $227,000 in our professional services for 2024. I'm working on finalizing two grants, a $125,000 grant from Commerce that will be split over 2024 and 2025. We're in the final stages of just finalizing that agreement, and then another $100,000 climate resiliency. Both of those grants all go towards planning efforts as part of our comprehensive plan update. So some of those funds, or potentially all of those funds out of professional services, could be used to pay for this contract. And then we also have a little over $52,000 in economic development funds that the city can use, but I'm recommending that we pay for this out of CDS professional services to kick off our comp plan. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Winger?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Mr. Winger, this professional that's going to come in, will they be providing us with information about other cities and what they've done and how successful they've been so we have something to compare it to?
Yes, they will. They'll be collecting at least three other regional examples of successful downtown parking scenarios of other cities.
And I have some concern about, you mentioned that you would be surveying the people along Peace Portal, but I'm not clear how you're going to get input from the rest of the community that has to go downtown to do their business. How will you be getting input from the general population?
Well, this is just for this parking study. We'll be having community meetings and our planning commissions having public meetings to take input from the public. We could potentially open up the survey to a larger audience, but how it's scoped up right now, it is intended just to be strictly downtown business owners. We're trying to get information on how many potential employees are coming to each business and parking in our downtown area as part of that survey. That's what that specific data is aimed at collecting.
So if people want to have any input, they're going to have to go to planning commission meetings or submit written letters, correct?
That's correct. They can email me. I'm always open to talk to the public. They can contact a planning commission or come speak at our planning commission meetings. We're also planning a number, we would like to have an open house meeting once our planning commission firms up the recommendations of those zoning changes. There's a number of zoning changes we're looking at. Parking seems to be one of the most sensitive issues, and so we want to make sure we're doing a good job, and that's why we're trying to get some assistance here from a professional to make sure we're recommending the best options to ultimately City Council to decide.
And will they be present at those meetings, Transpo?
They will present at up to two meetings, and we can have them attend additional meetings as needed.
Any further comments?
Alex, can you go back to the map that you had, please?
Went the wrong way. 1 second.
Any way to enlarge that?
Presentation mode, bottom right.
So we're looking right now. You're talking that yellow is what we are considering the central business district, and the parking spaces in question that we're talking about are Peace Portal and H Street only. H Street the fourth, correct?
The parking study is the yellow area, the yellow outline area.
Okay.
That's it.
And so why is there the green highlight and the orange highlight? Is that because of a majority of parking spots, or what does that represent, I guess?
I actually created the green and the orange areas to show the core parking areas downtown that I wanted to make sure we were studying. The red outline is our entire central business district, and then the yellow area is the study area of this.
Okay, so all the street parking will be included in this, not just those two. That was my question. I had some confusion on what was going to be involved. Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
I'm not clear on that at all.
Madam Mayor, can I clarify? So the parking study area is within the yellow boundary.
Okay. And the significance of the dark yellow band on H Street is what? Is there any significance to having it highlighted?
Madam Mayor,
no. What he was doing was he was just trying to outline where the main arteries are.
Okay.
And it's the yellow, not the orange or gold. It's the yellow area that is being considered.
Okay.
So
go ahead, Mr. May.
So when I want to go and park somewhere between Edeline and Black Forest, I'm frequently finding that I'm getting the very last parking space available. I've been very fortunate to almost always find a spot, but I'm always seeming like I'm finding the very last spot there was. And I understand that there's potential developers are saying they want to build buildings without providing any additional parking for the additional foot traffic and car traffic that would come with the development of buildings in that area. So this expert would be being paid $25,000 to kind of keep track of what times of day, how full the parking is, do a more of an, because it sounds like you've got a number of spaces, just 600 or something, right? So we know the overall inventory. So what are we getting for this $25,000? What thinking is this person going to do? Is this person potentially going to come and say, hey, you don't need any more parking. If we build a bunch of new buildings, they don't have to contribute any place to put cars. Is that one of the things that he could come and say, or he could come and say, you guys definitely need to come up with another 100 places to put cars somehow? Is that the kind of output from the study? What are we getting for the $25,000?
Yes, so, or Madam Mayor, the parking study will include a good way to phrase it, but whether the parking spaces are being used. And so they'll do a survey of the parking spaces, of whether they're empty or occupied. There's several times that they do that, a weekday and a Saturday, I believe, that it proposed. And so they will collect data, and then so they can actually, we'll have some information as opposed to, you know, this anecdotal information, which is like, we seem to have this parking problem, or maybe we don't. It just depends on people's opinion. So we need some data to go with this. In addition to that, they're going to evaluate three other cities or municipalities and their parking study, their parking requirements. There will be a survey, and there will be a public presentation, and then they're going to review the recommendations coming out of the ad hoc downtown advisory committee. And then they're going to look at our parking capacity. And I'm hoping that we can get some recommendations out of them to how to address parking downtown.
Did you take three bids on this? Is there nobody out there that could have done the same exact work for $6,000?
I would suspect there potentially could be other companies out there that could do this work for us. But one of the reasons I particularly like this proposal is one of the lead consultants on this is Chris Como, a prior public works and transportation planner for the city of Bellingham for 22 years. And so this bringing in some expertise from local Whatcom County.
Yeah, I got a question. I totally disagree with what he just said. I've had that gas station down there 30 some years. I got Starbucks. I'm damn near every day there. I've never seen a parking problem yet. If they say we got a parking problem, back in 92 to 96, we had at least 10 times people in this town that come through here now. We didn't have a parking problem then. And all of a sudden, we got a parking problem. I think it's been studied, overstudied, looked at. We're going to study again, and nothing's going to get moved on. We need to listen to our people and take their advice. That's why we hire them. So I'm in a disagreement with you on that, Richard, because I'm there. I've been there every day. My family's been there 6 years. That don't mean shit, but I have been down there, and I have businesses down there, and you think I would know if there's a parking spot.
Well, could we pay you less than $25,000 to tell us that? Because you seem to know. You seem to have the answers, and I think you're more affordable than the $25,000, but whatever.
Mr. Winger, do you happen to know what the three other cities are that they're going to be comparing us to?
I'm sorry, no, I do not, but I think we will have say over that.
Okay. I'm just cautious. After the Freeman Building architect went out and reviewed other areas just to determine what was appropriate for our town, and they went to Fairhaven, they went to Vancouver, I don't remember the third city, and they came up with something that was totally beyond what anybody expected. So I just want to make sure they're appropriate.
Where the yellow line cuts off right down the line of the post office and this building here, I'm wondering, when you look at the red line that's the central business district, there's a big area that's where I tend to park for these meetings, and there's a lot of ample parking by the post office. Is that just considered too far from the downtown core to be considered relevant? Why is that yellow line not encompassing all of that available parking?
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead.
I think the yellow line could be defined a bit more specifically. I think it was kind of, this is the general area. We can work with a consultant to firm that up a bit and make sure that that area around the post office and libraries is included.
I think the answer to that question is people today are just too lazy to walk. I can't tell exactly how many blocks are there to get down to our downtown. We're always compared to Costco. Costco has a whole lot more draw than downtown Blaine. And there's only one Costco to go to. So they're willing to walk farther there. They're not going to walk from this building all the way down to Starbucks or to the Blaine Boutique. You know, it's just a matter of people aren't willing to do that anymore.
Okay, what we have, are there any further questions to Mr. Winger on this one? What we have is CDS recommends approval, which would authorize professional assistance to CDS and help develop critical information as part of the downtown zoning text amendments review process. Did anybody make a motion on this? Could I have a motion on this?
I'll move that.
Sorry?
I make that motion.
Oh, sorry. Okay, second. Any further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Opposed.
One opposed? Two opposed. So the motion is passed 5-2. Thank you. Okay,
thank
moving
you,
on then to Mr. Gandhi, Local Agency Federal Aid Project Prospectus Form.
So we did submit the LAC 140-101 form previously signed by Madam Mayor. We got some recommendation from WSDOT to amend that form, because what we did was, like, we actually asked them to obligate the full $9.5 million towards the PE, that's a pre-engineering. But since a right-of-way acquisition cannot be done before the preliminary engineering is done and NEPA is done, so there are some obligation that will be done at a later stage. So it's just the amendment of the same form, different places for obligations.
Any questions for Mr. Gandhi? Could I then have a motion to sign the amended form, LAG Project Prospectus 140 to 101? Seconder?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion is passed 7-0. The last council action item is a memorandum of understanding with Teamsters Union, which will be voted on after our executive session. So moving on, commission, committee, and board reports. At this point, I'm going to read out the assignments that everybody seems to have agreed on, just for your information. Finance committee is Mr. Davidson, Lopez, and Stewart. Public Works Advisory Board, Mr. Lopez. WTA Board, Mr. Davidson. BTAC, Ms. Hurt. Library Liaison, Ms. Higgins. Senior Center Liaison, Ms. Hurt. Port of Bellingham, Mr. Hill. Boys and Girls Club, Ms. Higgins. Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee, Ms. Hurt. Small Cities Representative for Incarceration Prevention, Mr. Davidson. Small Cities Partnership, Stewart. Whatcom Council, County Council, Mr. May. Chamber of Commerce, Mr. May. And then we have a query of a representative for the Planning Commission. Mr. Harmon, would you like to address that or not? We talked about this, that there was no council representative for the Planning Commission, and we wondered whether there should be. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Sure. It really boils down to whether the council would like to have a liaison there, and if so, we can amend the text. It would require a text amendment to add that position to the commission. This conversation came up between the mayor and I. There's county liaisons to other boards, but no council liaison to the Planning Commission. So if this body is serious of it, staff will be happy to start the process to amend the ordinance and bring that back to you for consideration.
So if the council would like to give your opinions on that to Mr. Harmon, we can move forward at whenever.
I'd like to hear the opinions of the Planning Commission as well, just to factor that in.
Okay. So we'll work on this. Okay. Moving on then to department reports, Community Development Services Department, Mr. Wenger.
Yes, I am excited to announce that we have several microphones here. Yes, I'm excited to announce that we have building official interviews this week. We have four good candidates, and we are just kicking off our first round of interviews, so looking forward to getting staffed up with that. And then we will also continue downtown zoning text amendments with our Planning Commission coming up in our first meeting in February. So I will inform them of the council's decision this evening about the parking study, and we'll be having our plan is to hopefully have a few guest speakers at that meeting coming in to talk to us about some of the challenges of developing downtown, and we'll continue to move that forward. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Wenger? No? Okay. Finance Department, Mr. Heverling, this is your swan song.
Madam Mayor, no, actually, it's going to be later, so we have no Finance Department report tonight.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your service, and I wish you all the best in your future jobs, whatever. You might not be that very far from here, so I understand.
Yeah, I was going to, I'll give a goodbye in a later report, because I'm going to be working most likely through the end of February now. So, but yes, this I was going to give it tonight, but now that I'm going to be here another month, I'll give it in a future one. But yeah, so the plan is to hopefully just move to another department here in the city that is in process. So we'll see how that goes. So I might stay in Blaine as potentially police officer. So we'll see how that goes. But I have definitely enjoyed working in the finance department for the last 2.5 years. And I have been a police officer in the past, and it's always something that I thought of wanting to go back to at some point, and specifically to stay in Blaine. I really like it in here in Blaine. So about a month ago, I thought, 48, perfect time to go back to being a police officer. So I'll give it a try. So that's in process right now, and we'll see how that goes. But
wish you well.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Public Works Department, Mr. Gandy.
Madam Mayor, just wanted to update you on the power outage on the January 11th in the evening around 6 p.m. So basically what happened, like in the downtown core, so downtown is fed by three circuits, 15, 16, and 17. And there was a big tree limb that caught onto two of the lines up by the grid, actually, which blew off circuit 15. And that's why we had the big power outage in the downtown. And that was fixed after we found out the root cause and it was removed. Any update?
Okay, City Manager, Mr. Harmon.
Thank you, Mayor. We closed our application process for the Chief of Police last Friday, and I'm happy to report that we've got 13 applicants. We've got some very good applicants on paper. I started going through them, and some really great training and qualifications for folks who applied from all over the country. So looking forward to working through that process. The Mayor and I have put together a collaborative process to include a community panel, a law enforcement panel, and a leadership panel to include a member or two of the council. And so as we work through this process, we'll keep you in the loop. I would expect Zoom interviews in the next couple, 3 weeks, and then follow that up with in-person interviews possibly 4 to 6 weeks from now, having a candidate on board May, June, ideally. Lieutenant Mundins, we're in good hands in the interim. He's got the ship going in the direction it needs to go, and we've appointed interim sergeants and an interim lieutenant. So we haven't skipped a beat in terms of the safety of our citizens in Blaine. So keep you in loop as that progresses. And then one item that wasn't on my list I want to address. We live in a country where, fortunately, we get to say most anything we want without consequence. And I want to address the water quality complaint comment that came up tonight. We did, in fact, test the water in my house. And the reason is because a certain group of individuals has been flinging false accusations to any state department that is willing to listen, from the Army Corps to the Department of Health to the Department of Ecology, information that is absolutely not correct. Normally, the City of Blaine will not test water at the faucet inside the house because we don't know what sort of piping people have inside their homes or what sort of service line they have leading into their home. But because of our relationship with the Department of Health and Department of Ecology, they asked for water tests in East Maple Ridge to basically put an end to some of the narrative that is being conveyed by certain members of this Save Blaine group. So happy to report we did test the water. In fact, we did an investigative sampling of the water at the tap, and we were well within all of the state and federal guidelines for water quality in East Maple Ridge. And I can assure you that I, my wife, my son, and my daughter drink that water. And if we had an issue up there, we'd be fixing it. Thank you. That's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you.
I had a question. Are any of the chief applicants from Washington State?
Go ahead.
I know that we have at least four that are from Washington State, and those are four that have visited with me individually. I haven't gone through all of the rest of them yet, but at least four out of the 13 are from Washington State.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Calendars, fairly straightforward. Council unfinished business? Doesn't look like any. Council new business. Mr. May and I, and maybe some others, were contacted by the school board president and chairman, I guess, and asked if the city council would support the school board levy and bond. Mr. May, do you want to talk about this?
Well, I don't know if we need a written resolution.
That's a letter of, or an admission of support, I guess.
I mean, is that an action item we vote on?
We could vote on that if the council wishes.
Okay, well, I'd like this council to take up a position in favor of, in general support of the school board, the school levy, and the Parks and Rec levy that are coming in the special election in February.
And the bond?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The school and a Parks and Rec, those two items.
So there's a school bond and a school levy. The school levy is to replace the levy that has expired, that fills the gap between what the state pays and what they don't have. So that's just a continuation of the levy. Then they're asking for a bond, which will
build the middle school, I believe?
A capital bond for construction of updates to the Blaine Middle School with additional funding going to playground, improvements at Point Roberts Primary School, more space for athletics at the pipeline fields, and to develop designs for a possible new school sometime in Birch Bay. And that is what they're asking for our support. So I'm just saying, if anybody in the council would like to suggest a support for this, we could vote on it, yay or nay.
I have a question for Mr. Harmon. When we're talking about funding for, or potential funding for the library here in Blaine, I'm aware that getting that on the ballot is one potential option. What would the soonest be that could potentially occur?
Go ahead, Mr. Harmon.
I would, Madam Mayor. I'd like to do the research. I don't want to give you an answer right now off the top of my head to see if we could get it on November or not. Let us do the research and we'll follow up with council on that answer.
Okay. There is also a cost to putting something on.
I'm just trying to figure out if that's something that we're thinking about maybe next year as a possibility. Like, we haven't even had the conversation yet, right? But if we're putting our support behind something that's going on the ballot this November, it is positioning us to potentially not support something, or maybe it could potentially affect how we may or may not choose to proceed on funding on the library. So that's what I wanted to just put on everybody's radar.
I believe the school bond and levy and the Parks and Rec are, like, the ballots are arriving like this weekend. It's a mid February.
It's going to be a spring. It's not going
to. It's like a February, a couple weeks from now. Vote. No, it would not be.
Okay, fine.
That competition. Going on to item number two, the Washington Legislature property tax update. I know you're probably aware that this has been going back and forth for a while. At the moment, we are allowed up to 1% increase in property taxes each year if we vote on it as a council. The cap is 1%. I think, Mr. Harmon, that 1% brought us in a total of $15,000, which is inadequate to meet the gap that we have from the decrease in cross-border traffic, plus all the other reasons, the lack of sales tax, that unlike some of the other cities in Whatcom County don't have the problem with, we do. However, I did make a presentation before the committee that's looking into that in Olympia, but just to let you know, this is a very contentious issue because in an election year, the state does not want to be proposing any increases in any taxes, so it'll be interesting to see how this moves forward. So again, for things like Harborview Hospital, which is the only county hospital in the state, they are woefully underfunded, particularly after COVID. So they really need this up to 3%. They're really pushing for this to be approved by the state. Plus a lot of smaller cities like us are also asking for the cap to be increased to 3% with conditions. So against that, their general feeling, just please don't increase my property taxes anymore. So this is where we're at with almost everything. We're looking at libraries, roads, whatever. It is choices to be made with limited resources. So I'm just putting that out. The last thing we have at the moment is an executive session approximately, well, we forget about the 6:30, to discuss collective bargaining pursuant to RCW 4230-144B with possible action to be taken afterwards. Mr. Harmon, how much time would we need?
Approximately 10 minutes, Mayor. We can extend by 5.
Okay, we're back from our executive session and we then have one more council action item. Mr. Harmon, Memorandum of Understanding with Teamsters Union.
Thank you, Mayor. This MOU extends the contract term with Teamsters for 2 years. It would provide for a 6% cost of living adjustment on the 2023 wage schedule and a 1% cost of living adjustment on the 2024 wage schedule. It continues to honor the opt-out provision for medical insurance, which basically, if the insurance provided through IAM would allow for medical opt-out, employees could get cash in lieu of taking the medical insurance, but the plan does not allow that, so it simply extends that term. And then it changes the term, the end date of the original agreement to 2025. And that's it. So simply said, 6% in 24, retroactive to January 1, 1% in 25, and then we have a 2-year contract with MOU. Excuse me.
I move that we approve this contract.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is passed 7-0, and the meeting is adjourned at 7:23. Thank you.